Hare Krishna. So I apologize, it's me again. I'm sure there's a lot of devotees here that haven't had a chance to speak, but Madhavisa Prabhu insisted that I come. So I'll do my best. I wanted to just add one thing from this morning. Those of you that were here this morning, I mentioned about Prabhupada's departure for the West from King George's Dock in Calcutta on August the 13th, Friday, August the 13th, in 1965. And this statement from this man, Shishir Bhattacharya, how he said that he was the only one that saw Prabhupada off. He was all alone. And then, of course, later on we got Prabhupada's diary. And in Prabhupada's diary, he mentions how there were five people that actually accompanied him to the dockyard and saw him off. One of those was Prabhupada's son, Vrindavan Chandra Day. He's still alive. He lives in Calcutta. We see him now and again. And I did actually interview him one time to ask him, you know, about that particular day. So he told me the story that he said, my father was staying in a Dharamshala at Newton Bazaar, which is Newmarket. It's a well-known area in Calcutta. And he said about 6 in the morning, he came in a taxi, he picked me up, and then we went together to the dockyard. And then he said, we went up on board on the ship. He said, I went into the cabin with him also. And he said, Prabhupada, you know, he said, my father, he was reading the newspaper. And he said, I sat with him for a half an hour. And then it was time for the ship to go. So then I got down and, you know, waved him goodbye. So that's actually what happened, no matter what Shishir Bhattacharya said. So I just wanted to add that from this morning. So I was trying to think a little bit about what to talk about for the next 20 minutes. I thought it might be nice. I'm not aware of what's been going on. I've been outside for the most of the day, so I don't know where everybody's already been tuned into. But I thought it'd be nice to say a little something about Prabhupada's actual travels, because he was always traveling. And it was always a lot of fun to be with Prabhupada, traveling from one temple to another and one country to another. There was always some interesting things that happened. Sometimes some really dramatic things that happened. And in fact, when I first joined Prabhupada's party at the end of November in 75, and I was shown how to massage him, one part of his body that I was told not to massage at that time was, I think it was his left knee. And the reason for that was because a few weeks before, he'd been touring in South Africa, and then he went to Kenya, and he was in Mauritius. So whilst he was in Mauritius, they were staying at some big man's house, so nothing much to do. And one afternoon, Prabhupada decided that he wanted to go out for a drive, just to look around the place. So they borrowed the man's car. He had a driver, of course. And then Prabhupada and Brahmananda, they were in the back. And Pushtakrishna Swami, he was sitting in the front. So off they went. And then they got out into the countryside. It was all sugarcane crops, so it's quite high. They came up to a bend, and just as they're coming up to the bend, this car came flying around the corner, coming the opposite way, on the wrong side of the road, and hit them head on. And, you know, of course, there was a big, huge smash. The man that was driving the other car was, turned out he was drunk, and he was badly injured. Prabhupada's car driver was also quite heavily injured. And Srila Prabhupada was in the back there. And what had happened was just before they came up to the bend, Prabhupada had been sitting down. He was just looking out the window. And then all of a sudden he took hold of his cane and he sat up cross-legged on the seat and he held onto the cane and he pushed it down underneath the seat. And he was holding it like to keep himself steady. And then right after that, then boom, they had this big smash up. So afterwards, Prabhupada said that it was Krishna that had dictated to him to take the cane, because that actually stopped him from getting thrown over, you know, the front seat. Pushtakrishna was thrown into the windscreen. He got a big bang on the head. Brahmananda was more or less okay. I guess he was so big that it didn't really affect him. But Prabhupada did get, you know, a big bang on his knee. He had a lot of bruising. So when I first started massaging him, I was told, now you just avoid that spot, because it was still quite tender. And for a few days, we were making a poultice from neem leaves and ghee. He had us cook down, you know, some neem leaves for about half an hour in ghee, and then he was putting that on his knee, and that was drawing out all the bruising and everything. So later on, Harikesh actually told Srila Prabhupada, he said, I always thought that a, you know, pure devotee, you know, Krishna protects him, then something like a car crash or something, or it couldn't happen. And Prabhupada said, no. He said, it can happen. You know, everything's under Krishna's control, but it doesn't mean that, you know, things like that don't happen. So anyway, that was the first I'd heard of Prabhupada, you know, being in a, you know, kind of a vehicular accident. But then a few months later, I was in one with him again. And what had happened was that, again, it was Pushtakrishna. Only this time, Pushtakrishna was actually the driver. And in February and March, 76, he had come up from South Africa. He went to Germany. He bought a new Mercedes limousine for Srila Prabhupada. And he drove that with Ridha Prabhu overland all the way to India. And they turned up, you know, in Mayapur for the festival there. So Prabhupada was quite pleased with that. Nice car to drive around. Not that he was sense gratifying with it. But Prabhupada felt that it showed, it gave some prestige to his institution. And it was, you know, it showed that people in India that, you know, ISKCON was respectable and like that. They respect that kind of stuff. So they had taken the car over to Delhi for the second part of the Mayapur festival. And we were there. We did a small pandal in Delhi. Then we went to Vrindavan. So after a couple of weeks in Vrindavan, then it was time we were going to go down to Bombay. And then from Bombay, we were going to fly out on what proved to be Prabhupada's last world tour. So the car was going to be left under the custody of this devotee called Chaitya Guru. He was a Punjabi. I think formerly he had been a taxi driver or something. So he was designated, you look after Prabhupada's car whilst we're out of the country. So we were driving from Vrindavan into Delhi. And we're going along. Pushtakrishna Swami was driving. And he was doing about 70 miles an hour, which in India is really fast. You never know what's going to happen, what kind of animal or bird or human being or bicycle, truck, donkey, pig, anything. You know, they can just come out there on the road. So he's zooming along. And in those days, most of the road was just, you know, a single track, one lane each way. But there was a divided road, and that was when you came into Paliwal, which is about an hour outside of Delhi. So as we came in, we came to the divided portion, and the divider in the middle was quite high. It was a big curb. And we're zooming along. I'm sitting in the back with Srila Prabhupada. And Pushtakrishna is not looking where he's going. He was looking at Chaitya Guru, who was sitting in the passenger seat, and he was explaining to him, you know, how the car works, what the gears are, and like this. He was kind of prepping him up for driving it after we left. So we're going along, and I was looking out the windscreen, and I could see up not too far in the distance, there was a camel cart. It was going along quite slowly. And behind the camel cart, there was another horse and cart. And they have this, I don't know, they do this thing in India. They really, really load up these carts. You see this little spindly donkey or horse. And then it's got this massive load on it. So especially they put straw on. And they stack it way, way high. And then the guy that's driving it, he has a really long rope. and he's sitting up in the straw there, about, you know, 8 feet off the ground. So one of these little pony carts is overtaking the camel cart. So he's pulling out, and, you know, the gap's narrowing between the cart and the central divider. So I was looking and I was thinking, wow, you know, are we going to make it? And I was thinking, we're going pretty fast. And Pushkrishna wasn't looking. Then I thought, maybe I should say something. Then I thought, no, I won't, you know, because he was a little touchy about those things. He didn't like to be told anything. So I thought, I won't say anything. Then after another second, I thought, no, he's got to do something. We're getting too close. And then just at that moment, he looked up. And he saw now the, you know, the pony cart's pulled right out. And the gap between the cart and the curb is so narrow, we weren't going to make it. So he immediately banged his feet on the brakes, the wheels locked, and because the wheels locked, he was going to lose control, so he had to let go of the brakes again. So, you know, we kind of just cannoned through between the pony cart and the curb. So we got most of the way past. Bang! You know, the axle, they have these big wooden wheels and these big wooden axles with this, you know, metal bar in the front. Bang! Just hits the car right on Prabhupada's door. And somehow or another, because the car was so big and heavy, we just, you know, kept on going. We flew through. And typically, in India, there was another driver right behind us in an Ambassador. And he'd seen that we were going through, so he decided if they're going through, I'm going through. So he was right up, you know, behind us. But what happened was the whole wheel of the cart got ripped off. And the whole cart came collapsed down, all the straw came down. I saw there were two guys up there. They came tumbling down in all this straw, and then this Ambassador comes banging up behind and drives straight into the whole thing. So he gets stuck, of course. I don't know what happened to the people on the cart. I hate to think about it. But if you have an accident in India, everybody knows you can't stop. If you stop, the likelihood is that they'll murder you. They'll just burn your car with you in it. So there was no way that we could risk that with Srila Prabhupada in the back seat. So he had to just keep going. So Pushyakrishna was just, oh no, like this. But he had to keep going. And Prabhupada was sitting in the back. And he was so angry, he didn't say anything. I mean, he had different stages of anger. You know, sometimes if you did something wrong that was a little foolish, he kind of cut you down a little bit with a bit of sarcasm, you know, just put you in your place and correct you. If you did something really foolish, he might really, you know, get angry and shout at you. I had that a few times. You know, if he got really, really agitated, he would sit straight up like this. His back would straighten. His face would flush. His top lip would start quivering on the left-hand side. And then he would yell. He would just shout at you. And it would, you know, really blow away all your false ego and leave you completely exposed. So it was difficult to take, but it was a big relief if you got it. You know, it really straightened you out and put you back on the right track. But this was a stage of anger that I only saw that one particular time. He was so angry. He was sitting in the back. He just said, "You are going so fast," like this. And then he just bit his lip and didn't say another word for the next hour all the way into Delhi. He just sat there in stony silence. Pushyakrishna couldn't do anything. He was just, you know, mortified at what had happened. We pulled into Delhi at the temple there, and Prabhupada couldn't get out the car because the door had kind of sprung a little bit. You could actually see daylight, you know, between the door and the car frame. Somehow or another, because they're so well made, Mercedes, you know, the window on Prabhupada's side didn't smash, even though the door kind of sprung. But we couldn't open it. So we had to get out, you know, the same side that I was on. We went round and there's this big hole in the side of the door. You know, it was a brand new Mercedes, big huge hole in it. By that time Prabhupada had just let it go. He didn't say anything. Pushyakrishna offered his obeisances and apologized. That was it. Prabhupada said, "All right, just get it fixed." And that was that. So it was a little hazardous traveling in India, and especially on the roads. We were always a little paranoid about that. And because of the crash in Mauritius, we had made a decision that whenever Prabhupada traveled in a car, then we would have a lead car and Prabhupada would be in the rear car and we'd have him in the back seat rather than the front seat. So we tried to follow that as much as possible. But later on, I remember even with that, it was still risky. We were going one time from Vrindavan to Delhi. We were in a couple of ambassadors. So the servants, we were in the front one. And then Prabhupada was in the rear one. So as we're going along, then I think we came into Faridabad. And then all of a sudden, this young buffalo came shooting across the road. So he missed us. We were in the front, and he missed us. And went between the cars, and then Prabhupada's car was coming up the rear, and they hit it. But fortunately, the driver was kind of sufficiently, aware of what was going on, that he'd already got the brakes on, and he just kind of bumped the buffalo and he ran off and nobody was injured, but they did come to a halt. So we were always in this state of anxiety whenever we were traveling by car with Srila Prabhupada. Later on in October, then Prabhupada had an engagement in Chandigarh, and we were in Delhi and we were supposed to fly up there. So there was some mix-up between Gopal Krishna, who was the GBC, and Hansa Dutta, who was Prabhupada's secretary at that time. So what they did was they bought the tickets, but they forgot to book the seats on the plane. So in the afternoon, before we were due to leave, the next morning, Prabhupada called them in. He said, "Now, what are the travel arrangements?" And they said, "Oh, we've got the tickets." And Prabhupada said, "So, have you booked the flights?" So immediately they got on the phone, and no seats were available. They'd forgotten to book them, and they were, the whole plane was sold out because it was just these little Fokker friendships, the twin engine things. And there were no seats available. And we were due in Chandigarh the following morning, and they'd already called a press conference, was supposed to be held at the airport at 6 o'clock in the morning. So what to do? Prabhupada called them in and said, "Now what, how are we going to get up there?" So the only way up was to drive. And that meant driving all night because it was a 6-hour drive. So Prabhupada just, "All right, if we have to do it, we have to do it." He didn't say, "All right, put it off for a day." He was thinking about the preaching and he was saying, "Well, if the Pandal's tomorrow and we have this press conference, then we have to go." So he just accepted it. And so we hired a car from a local company. It was a big old converted American limousine. And, one of these wide things. But it had right-hand drive rather than left-hand drive. So that came, and we set off early in the morning. It was about a 4-hour drive. We left early in the morning at 2 o'clock in the morning. So there was myself and Hansa Dutta. We were sitting in the front seat with the driver. And then we gave the back seat to Srila Prabhupada. So he laid down and went to sleep, which was good because it was so hazardous the whole trip, driving in the nighttime. And, every few miles you'd come up, there would be some truck that had broken down. And they have this system in India. If somebody breaks down, they don't leave like flashing lights or a red triangle or anything like that to show that there's something broken down. They break off a couple of tree branches and they stick it in the back of the truck. So you've got this truck looking like a Christmas tree, right, with these branches sticking out of it. And that means that it's broken down. So, we were going along, and then all of a sudden, out of the darkness, you'd suddenly see this big truck right there in the middle of the road, not moving. And you'd have to swerve around it. So we had a few of those. And then I remember particularly, we were going along, and there was this long sweeping bend. You couldn't really see what was coming from the other way. And there was a whole line of trucks that was in front of us going around the bend. So the driver decides, again, typically in India, he decides to overtake them on the bend. So he pulls out and he's going past. He gets crawling past. He was going flat out and we were just crawling past this truck. And we got past the first one. We were coming up to the next one. And then all of a sudden, this huge truck comes from the other way. And it's just two lanes. That's it. So there was nowhere to go. And I saw this truck come. I saw our driver. He saw it. And so he tried to, you know, drop back. But he couldn't because there was one truck behind us and there was one truck in front of us. And there was not much gap between them. So he was stranded in the wrong lane. And this huge truck was coming towards us. And I was looking like this. And then at the last second, he just swerved and he forced his way into the gap between these two trucks, made the guy behind us brake to let him in. And we just squeezed in, and the truck that was coming, it missed us by about inches. I mean, 2 or 3 inches, that was it. Even our driver broke out into a sweat. You know, it was... So needless to say, I didn't sleep all night. But we did make it. We did make it to Chandigarh. We got there, I think about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. And Srila Prabhupada, he got out from the car. He went into the airport, went into the bathrooms, brushed his teeth, washed his face, you know, put his tilak on. And then we went back down and he sat in the arrival lounge. And then all the devotees arrived and the press arrived and they all thought that he'd flown in. He's sitting there, you know, completely relaxed, as if nothing had happened. And then he gave the interview and, you know, we went to the temple there. So Prabhupada was really sublime about traveling. You know, he really knew how to handle the whole thing. And as I say, we did in 76, we flew out from Bombay in April. We set off for Melbourne. So that was to be the first leg on the last world tour. So when we left Melbourne, when we left Bombay, then we flew to Singapore. So I think that was probably like a 4 or 5 hour flight, 4.5 hours or something. So we flew into Singapore and then we had about a 4 hour stopover there. In those days, Singapore had a really, really crude airport. It was very old. The facilities were extremely poor. And they didn't like devotees. So when we arrived, we went to, you know, go into the first class lounge. So the system was that Prabhupada was always given a first class ticket. His servant got a first class ticket. And then the rest of the party, they got an economy class ticket. So Pushyakrishna, he was the secretary, he was in the back. And Prabhupada and myself were up in first class. So when we arrived in Singapore, the authorities there wouldn't let us in. And we showed them, we said, you know, we're in transit, we're only here for 4 hours. We want to go into the first class lounge. But the way the airport was arranged in those days, the lounge was actually on the other side of the immigration. So you actually had to go through immigration and be officially stamped into Singapore just to use the lounge, even though you weren't leaving the airport. So we had about a 10-minute argument with the Singapore officials, and then finally they conceded that we were actually entitled, you know, to use the first-class lounge. So very reluctantly, they actually stamped us in. But, you know, because they saw that we were devotees, there was no way that they were going to let us into the city there. Now, I think Singapore probably has, it's one of the few countries in the world that has that distinction of refusing to allow Srila Prabhupada to come into their country. Even the Russians let Prabhupada in, but not the Singaporeans. Anyway, so we went in, and then it turned out that the first class lounge was actually a pub. Fortunately, when we first arrived, it was closed, so they let us in. So we sat there in this empty pub, and we had some prasadam that, you know, the devotees had packed for us in the tiffins. So Prabhupada took a little prasad and we relaxed. Then after about 45 minutes, other people started coming in. Then the bartender came in and then they started serving. So all these people start coming in, they're all smoking and drinking. So that was it, we couldn't stay there. So again, we had to go out. And then they had these old molded plastic seats. That was all there was. Very, very uncomfortable. We had to sit there for 3 hours, just, you know, waiting. And then at the end of that, when we were expecting to get on the plane, it was delayed. They had some mechanical fault, so there was a 3-hour delay. So we ended up sitting there in these uncomfortable seats for about 5 hours. Prabhupada never complained. You know, he just sat there as serene as ever. And then eventually we got on the plane, and it was an overnight flight. We had to go to Sydney, and then transit there for an hour, and then another hour's flight down to Melbourne. So there was one funny incident that happened on the plane. We were, I think it was a DC-10, and they had the first class seats were right up front in the nose cone. And, of course, their entertainment system, they would pull down, you know, the movie screen. So we were in the first two seats, so the movie screen was right in front of us. And all night long, they're showing movies. So anyway, Prabhupada and I are sitting there. And at one point, Prabhupada went out to the bathroom. He came back, and they'd started, there was this war movie that was going on. And there was this movie actor, David Niven. So he was the hero. So Prabhupada came down, he sat down, and, you know, this thing's going on, I'm looking at it. So Prabhupada starts looking at it too. And it was just, there was a scene where they were, like, storming a hillside. And, you know, David Niven, the hero, he's got his little pistol in his hand. He's running up the hill. Somebody shoots him. He falls down. Then he jumps up, and he runs up again. Then he gets blown up. Then he jumps up again, and he runs again, and he's shooting. And Prabhupada's looking at this, and then he just burst out laughing. He said, "Still alive?" And then he just shook his head. He just took out his japa mala, and he started chanting. So it was really, it was very amusing. So then we arrived in Sydney early in the morning. We had an hour's stopover. Some of the devotees actually came in. They were able to get into the lounge there, the transit lounge, and they brought some prasad, and Prabhupada just took a little bit, and then he had us distribute that to all the rest of the passengers on the plane. Then we flew down an hour to Melbourne. So then when we got to Melbourne, we had another incident. Somehow or another, whenever we flew in to another country, we usually have some exchange with the immigration officials. So we had the Singapore incident. Then when we flew into Melbourne, it wasn't with the immigration, but it was with the customs. So what had happened was you have a landing card, and, you know, you put your name and you put your flight number, and then you put how many bags that you've got. So we had no experience of traveling internationally with Srila Prabhupada. So I filled out Prabhupada's card for him. And when it said number of bags, I put one bag. And then, you know, we arrived in Melbourne. We gave in the cards. We got through immigration. That was no problem. But then when we came to the customs counter, then we decided Pushtakrishna would remain behind. He would receive all our suitcases from the carousel. And in the meantime, Srila Prabhupada and I would go straight through because the devotees, you know, were waiting there in the airport. So we immediately approached the customs counter. And the customs officer looks at the card and he says, "Where's your?" He says, "He's got one bag." So I said, "Well, that bag is going to be brought. This is his secretary. He's going to bring the bags through." "No." "Okay, I'll finish this. We've got 5 minutes." So the customs official said, "No." He said, "He's got a bag. He's got to wait for his bag." So I got quite upset. And I started arguing with him. I was trying to persuade him. And then he was so obdurate that, we started arguing. And I was telling him, "Look, we've just traveled." By that time, it was about 22 hours travel time since we'd left Bombay. So I said, "Look, he's over 80 years old. We've been traveling for 22 hours. There was no seats even to sit on whilst you were waiting for the luggage to come through." I said, "There's nowhere to sit down." I said, "Please just let him go through. I'll bring the bag." I said, "I'm his, you know, servant. I packed the bag. I know what's in it. I'll bring it through. Just let him go through." "No." So, you know, it got really heated. And I started yelling at the guy. A big crowd gathered around. And Srila Prabhupada walked off. He didn't say anything. He didn't stop me. But he just kind of walked off to the side and he's just standing there like this. So then I cooled down. I didn't want to make the scene any bigger than it was. So I cooled down and I'm standing there for about a minute. And then a police officer comes up to me and he said, what was all that about? So I said, well, you know, we've just arrived, been traveling for so long. We just want him to go through. We'll bring the bags through. So there was whilst we were waiting there, we could hear this huge kirtan that was going on the other side of the arrival area, right? So every time the doors opened and somebody went out from, you know, the arrival into the reception area, the doors would open and this kirtan would just boom through the doors. And then the doors would close and it would recede, but you could still hear it and you could hardly hear any of the announcements, you know, with the tannoy system because the kirtan was so loud. So Guru Kripa Swami and about 50 devotees were out there and they were banging on drums and, you know, banging kartels and chanting at the top of their voices. And actually when we were standing there, you know, the doors opened, we heard this kirtan and Prabhupada turned to me and he said, "This is our men?" It was very innocent, you know, "This is our men?" As if it could be anybody else, you know. So this policeman comes, and then he says, "Is all that because of him?" Meaning the kirtan, you know, "Is this all because of him?" So I immediately twigged on. I said, "Yes, yes, it is." So he said, "Will they stop if he goes through?" So I said, "Yes." So that was it. Immediately, the policeman took Srila Prabhupada, he went straight through, and the customs officer standing there looking like this, he was fuming. He couldn't do anything, though. He got overruled by the cop. So then I had to come through with the cases, so it wasn't over. Prabhupada went through. As he went through, the kirtan got louder because they saw him, right? So they came charging down the corridor, you know, at the top of their voices chanting, and then it stopped. And then they took Prabhupada into the first class lounge and they'd arranged a press conference. So you can imagine, after 22 hours of traveling, Prabhupada had to go in and sit down and have a press conference. No problem. He immediately did it, you know, without any complaint. In the meantime, Pushyakrishna and I are getting the bags. So I got Prabhupada's suitcase and I thought, oh, this is it now, you know, they're going to give me hell when I go through because this guy had been harassing me. And I thought, now if I get the same guy and Prabhupada's gone through against his wishes, he's really going to give me a tough time. But as it turned out, they sent me to a different customs counter. And the guy was really friendly, he was really nice, he'd seen what was going on, so he was trying to make up for his colleagues, you know, misdemeanors. So he said, "No worries," he said, "welcome to Australia. You know, I just got to have a look inside. Just take a minute." So he unzips Prabhupada's suitcase, opens up the lid, and a cockroach about 2 inches long leaps, you know, these big, you know, water bugs that live in the drains. It, somehow or another, it must have jumped in there in Bombay, and it had taken shelter in Prabhupada's winter coat. So as soon as the lid opened, this bug, 2 inches it was, it leaps out and jumps onto the counter. And then all hell broke loose. You know, he had this post there and it had a big red button on it and it had a flashing light, but the light was off. As soon as he saw the bug, he went bang. He hits this button and then bang, 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 like this. His klaxon goes off. The light starts flashing. And he's yelling, "Quarantine, quarantine," like this. So I was thinking, oh no, I'm going to be here for hours, you know. So the guy said, "Don't worry." He takes off his shoe and he whacks this bug, flattens it on the counter, puts his shoe back on. And then one of his colleagues comes up and he's got 2 cans of bug spray. I swear they were about 1 foot high, each one. And he took both cans. And he just kind of grins at me. He said, "Just take a minute." Shh, like this. He let both cans, he emptied both cans into the suitcase, shuts the lid, zips it up, gives me the case. He said, "Have a good stay in Melbourne." So that was it. And I got in, we got into the lounge just as Prabhupada was winding up the interview there. And then off we drove off to the Melbourne Temple. Anyway, so that's a few travel pastimes. There's a rap. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. There's a Ratha Yatra now. So we're going to take Srila Prabhupada out, and he's going on to the Rath cart, right? And there'll be a Ratha Yatra up and down the street. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.